internal security. Again, as I started getting into it, this is going to get a little technical, but I want you to realize as I'm preaching on these verses you see in front of me. And in the middle of this sermon, when you are saying, where in the world is he? What is he doing in this sermon? I'm preaching on these verses, and at the end of it, hopefully it all wraps in, and you'll say, okay, now I understand what you were doing, okay? So bear with me so that you can understand. But again, I want to talk about eternal security. These are the words I'm most comfortable using when it comes to this doctrine, and it would definitely be the doctrine that once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith, you are secure forever, never to lose it. Okay? What's the easiest phrase that people quote? Once saved, always saved. Okay? You cannot lose it. All right? And I think you can see that. And I tell people, the easiest way, the two words in the Bible that just lay it out for me the easiest is the two words eternal life or everlasting life. If you want to go to other verses, eternal life. I give unto them what? Eternal life. If something has an end, then the definition means it was not eternal. Does everybody understand that? I mean, we're just talking simple definitions of words so that when people come to the Bible and say, you know, why do you believe that once you are saved, you can't lose it? Well, just based on those two words, eternal life, right? Once you have it, if it comes to an end, it never was eternal. So why would God call it that if he knew it was going to come to an end? And so that we understand that. So again, but as I got into this, there's different what I'm going to call interpretations of it. And one of them is a misinterpretation, terribly bad. But I just want to go through some technical things so that you understand when you talk to people about eternal security that you know where you stand versus maybe where you're talking to somebody and they're not standing or they don't quite believe it the same way you do. Now, maybe as I talk up here, it's true. Some of you might say, well, Pastor, you believe something about this doctrine that's a little different than I believe. It's possible. We're not splitting fellowship over it. We're not running away from each other. But how I interpret it and look at some fine points might be a little different than you hold to. Okay? And it could be. Or maybe you're going to say, wow, Pastor, you cleared some things up for me this morning. Okay? So that you understand that. So it's going to get. Now, what I'm going to present, and I'm trying to lay it all out ahead of you in the beginning here, I'm going to present four different views of eternal security. Now, you're probably saying, wow, I thought there was one. You know, just you're complicating it. Well, I just want you to be ready for what you run into. And if you run into somebody that believes a little different, that, okay, you say, well, you know, I've heard about that. My pastor talked about that. Okay? And it's not that we're breaking fellowship or we're mad at the person, but it's a little different than I believe. Okay? Or there's just a little twist on it. Okay? I've tried to call these views, these four views, by what they're commonly called, or I modified the name just to help us this morning so that we understand this. By the way, I'm not mad at any group here. I'm not labeling any group as being apostate or whatever. Again, I'm not. Just so you understand that. All right? But there are some views that I don't hold to that I'm going to bring here just to bring it up. Let's get into it, okay? First of all, we're going to look at what I call the hyper-reformed view. Okay? The key word there is what? Hyper. Okay? You've gone too far. That's what I'm talking about. Hyper. You've gone too far. Now, the Westminster Confession of Faith, which I've read it. I belong to a Presbyterian church for a lot of years of my life, which was based on the Westminster Confession of Faith. You can see I've put that in there, chapter 17, section 1, says this. Okay? Now, as we read it here, again, this is what it says, so we understand. They whom God hath accepted in his beloved, effectually called and sanctified by his Spirit, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere therein to the end and be eternally saved. Now, I tell people, wonderful statement. I have no problems with that statement. Okay? Now, just because it comes from the Westminster Confession of Faith, I hope nobody says, well, I hate everything in there. I hope you don't. Okay? Good stuff. All right? But I put this statement up, chapter 17, section 1, because some people read this section, and some of the words in the section, I believe they give a little bit different definition to than the way they're supposed to be read and the way they're supposed to be interpreted. Now, if I can do this, okay, I'm going to go with these words right here. These are the words that I'm using for the hyper-reform view, not one that I hold to, but they kind of misinterpret the word certainly persevere. Okay? Let me give it to you. And sometimes these people use, instead of calling it eternal security, They will call it perseverance of the saints. I don't have a problem with that phrase. I usually don't use it myself, though. But they've taken the word perseverance of the saints too far. I believe I can get this across to you. But what they're saying is, and if you look at the statement up there, basically those that have been saved, they've been accepted in the beloved. Okay? These people will certainly persevere to the end. And they're saved. What they misinterpret is, what does it mean to certainly persevere? And their interpretation goes something this way. Once you are saved, you walk the straight and narrow. You do not deviate to the right or the left. You do not slip. You do not fall. You walk it right. You certainly persevere. Okay? Once you are saved, God does a level of sanctification in you almost immediately that, you know what? Your life is totally different and you are walking for Jesus all the time. And I'm just telling you that I'm basing it on these words that they've kind of taken out of part. They certainly persevere. Now, watch this. They do not believe there's such a thing as backsliding in the Christian life. Now, I've got a question. Don't raise your hand. Anybody here ever backslide? I'm putting my hand up. What's the definition of backsliding? When you realize of time in your past when you were closer to God than you are now? Okay. We've all backslidden. Don't raise your hands, but we've all done it. This interpretation, and I'm calling it hyper-reformed, this certainly persevered. They do not believe that there's a time when you backslide or you fall into sin. It doesn't happen. Because if you are accepted in the beloved, you will certainly persevere to the end. Has everybody got me? Let me tell a story, and it's really going to lay it out there for you. It's true, okay? It's true, so you understand this. Again, a young man that I came to know through the ministry, when I got to know him or whatever, his testimony kind of was this. When he was young, his mom and dad, who were good Christians, led him to the Lord when he was young, and when he was young, he was baptized. But then as he became a teenager, he kind of told people that when he got saved as a young person, he really wasn't sure it was true. He's not really sure how it happened. So when he was a young teenager, he accepted Jesus as a Savior, made sure of his salvation, and asked to be baptized again just because he wasn't sure when he was little if he did it all right. And he wanted to make certain, wanted to be baptized again. Okay? And so sure enough, he was baptized again. When I became his pastor, then a little bit later in his teenage years, he'd done some things that he wasn't real proud of. So he came and said, well, you know, the two times before when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I really didn't mean it. My heart wasn't right, and because I fell into sin. So I have now received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and this time I really mean it. Would you baptize me again? No, I didn't baptize him the other times, okay? But I'm like, okay, all right, okay, this is, you know, okay. All right. Then not too long after that, I heard that he was at college and there were revival services at college, and he went forward and he got saved. And so at college, he asked if he could be baptized. And so they baptized him again because this time he was certain he was saved. He changed colleges. They had revival services, the new college. He got saved again. This time it was real. He got saved. And so at college, he asked if he could go to church and be baptized, and they baptized him again, okay? He got out of graduated from college, went into the ministry. He was a youth pastor. As a youth pastor at the church where he was, he finally realized he never was saved, and he needed to get saved again. And so he asked the pastor up there if he could be baptized again, and they baptized me. And the pastor was so happy to announce to me that, hey, did you know Justin really made it real this time? And he got said, I gave his name out, and I was like, what's going on here? So finally I'm saying, what's going on? What's going on? Every time I turn around, what do I hear? You're getting saved and getting what? Baptized. What's going on? He was sucked into this doctrine. And see what it was, when he was young and he got saved, it was good for a number of years, but then all of a sudden as a young teenager, he did some things, and what was his thinking? Boy, if I'm really saved, what? I wouldn't have done that. So I must not be saved. So he got saved and got baptized again. Okay? And then as an older teenager, what did he do? He fell into some sin or did some things and thought, well, if I really was a Christian, I wouldn't have done those things because I certainly, what am I saying here? I would certainly persevere and I wouldn't have fallen into sin. And what it was is he had gotten in with a group of people that had taught this and basically teaching that once you are saved, I mean, you walk the straight and narrow. You don't deviate left or right. You don't fall into sin. Oh, you may do little things, but there are certain sins that if you do them, you're not saved. Because if you were saved, you wouldn't have done them. And so consequently, his life has been a life of what? Insecurity. And this doctrine I'm bringing to you was introduced as what? Eternal security. And yet his view on eternal security has only produced what? Insecurity. Are you following me through? Now, again, if you're there and you say, well, you know, do you believe in eternity? Amen. I believe in perseverance of saints. I believe once you're saved, you walk the straight and narrow and God holds you in there and that's how you know you're saved. Well, I got a question for you. How many of you, from the day you got saved, you walked the straight and narrow, you never turned right, you never turned left? I mean, you are just the epitome of the perfect Christian. I'm not. I mess up. And I've heard somebody say, I think it was my dad, and I was about to say amen. He said, every day. Anybody else hear him say that? But we all mess up, don't we? Has any of you in your heart ever said, am I really saved because I just did that? We've all done that, have we not? Okay? How, if I'm a Christian and walking with Jesus, why did I just do that? We do. Okay? And so again, I want to make sure you understand now, you may go through your entire life and never meet this kind of person. I have. Okay? And I could give you different authors like Arthur Pink and people like that who kind of teach this, and it's in their books. Okay, that once you get saved, I mean, that's it. God gets a hold of you, and you just walk it down all, you know, every day. Okay? Now, again, I tell people possibly the only person who's ever done that in history is the thief on the cross, because right after he accepted Jesus, he died. And he didn't have a chance to go right or left. Am I right about that? But you're here in this world. So, again, there is this hyper-reformed view that I've run into. Again, I did put some verses up there. Again, John 13:10, this is when Jesus is washing the feet of disciples. And he says, all of you are washed, and you have no need to be washed again, except sometimes what happens? Your feet get dirty, and you need to get your feet washed. Okay? And I think this is Jesus letting us know in a figurative way that once you are washed by him, you're washed. You don't need to be saved again. But we do fall into sin like a man who just got all cleaned up and then walked to his neighbor's house. But on the way, what happened? His feet got dirty. Okay? Again, it's sort of like, you know, I don't know. Is everybody else's children like this or whatever? That, you know, when you get them all dressed up and get them all cleaned up for church or going to school or something like that, and there's snow piles around the driveway, that before you can get them into the car, they've already jumped in all those snow piles. Any kids like that? I'm looking at a lot of mothers like, my grandkids, what is it with snowbanks? Okay, I'd get them dressed in the morning when we were watching them because their parents went away. And man, I mean, we couldn't get them to the car without them jumping in the snowbank. And I'd say, now look, stay out of the snow. Okay, Pop, as they're standing in the snow. We stayed out of it. Well, you know, we're the same way. Hey, you're a Christian. Don't get in the mud. Stay out of the dirt. Stay out of sin. What happens? We mess up. Okay? Romans 7:15-24, a long passage. But it's those passages where Paul says, the good that I would do, I don't do it. And that which I don't want to do, I do it. And what's he end with? Oh, wretched man that I am. Okay? And I tell people, and as far as I know about the life of Paul, I'm reading about his life, this isn't a man who was going to heaven. I think he'd already been there at one point in his life, right? He was saved. But we mess up. So, again, to present that view to you that, again, that once you're saved, you never mess up. And if you do, it's because you weren't saved and you need to get saved again. I don't believe in perseverance of the saints is that. Does everybody hear me on that? But that's a view you might run into. Okay? And I don't believe that's true. And I think my interpretation of eternal security will give you security, not like this does. Because these are people wondering every day when they lie down in bed, am I really saved after how I just lived my day? Am I really saved because of what I just did? Okay? And I want to make sure that you understand that. Let's go to the next one here, see if I can get it to go. Okay? The next one is I'm going to call the Arminian view. Okay? Now, this is the view that's really not eternal security. Okay? but I want to put it on there. So again, if I'm going to put over here on this side the hyper. I'm missing the middle. I want to say Calvinist. That's that Reformed view. They're way over here, okay? Which over here is once you are saved, what? They believe once you are saved, man, you just don't mess up at all, okay? The Arminian view is, again, you see me setting things up here. You see me do this before. The Arminian view is way over here, okay? And you've maybe heard this view or whatever, again, so that you understand it. Again, true Christians can lose their salvation. And usually when you talk to an Arminian person, well, what do you have to do to lose it? Well, the ultimate thing is you denounce your faith, okay? You denounce your faith. But again, the Arminian view is Christians can lose it, okay? Christian can lose it. Now, I'm just telling you as I present this view to you, I don't hold this one at all. I'm not there, folks, okay? I don't believe this at all, that you can lose your salvation, all right? Because if I told people that if losing my salvation or if keeping my salvation depended on me, I'm in trouble. Okay, that's why, really, when it comes to eternal security, my security is in something else than me. All right, but again, the Arminian view is that Christians can lose. The man who brought this out, James Arminius, he says believers are kept safe by God in their saving relationship with Him upon the condition of a persevering faith in Christ. Okay, now their persevering faith in Christ is you have to persevere. If you don't persevere and stay with it, you lose it. Okay. Now, again, can you see a little bit of similarity between this view here and this view here? This view here is saying, if you sin, okay, what are they saying? If you sin in any bit of way or whatever, you never had it. They're saying over here, if you sin, you may have had it, but what happened? You lost it. And they're kind of really bringing a lot of sin into it, okay? What you do in your life and how you live, okay? So there's a lot with it. I tell people, I'm a John 10:28, okay? And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall what? Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Okay? Just so you understand that. Matthew 7:23, though, has a phrase in there that I've liked to hold on to. Okay? Because as people, now watch this, people who are about ready to be cast into hell are standing before Jesus. Those who try to claim that they were saved, what's the phrase that Jesus uses for these people that he's ready to throw into hell? I never knew you. So if people say, well, just before this guy got thrown into hell, Jesus said, I never knew you, but he'd lost his salvation, which means if he had salvation at one time, it means that what? Jesus knew him. And so I think that that phrase there, when Jesus looked at people and said, look, I never knew you. It's not like you had it and lost it. I never knew you. I just don't see people in the Bible that had it and lost it. And Jesus said, I never knew you when he did it one time. Okay? So that you understand the idea here of having it and losing it. I don't believe you had it. Okay? And again, but they would say if you denounce your faith, if you say all these things, well, then you can take what you have and give it back to God and say, I don't want it anymore. And that's the view that they have here. Okay, I don't hold to this view. Okay, you can see that. And I believe, again, John 10:28, Matthew 7:20, I think there's other verses. You know, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him have what? Everlasting life. I'm going back to those words. So if it's taken from you or given up, it never was everlasting. Okay, so that you understand that. So again, the Arminian view, you have it and you lose it. Okay, so again, basically what I have is over here, those who say when you receive salvation, I mean, you just walk the straight and narrow and you persevere very strictly. And if you don't, you never had it. Okay? Those over here say you can get saved, but then you can do such things in your life that it can be taken away or forfeited. I don't believe that. Okay? And again, I'm in the middle of this. What verses am I preaching on in the Bible? John 10:27-28. I want you to know I'm trying to make us understand these verses, okay? Let me go to the next one view, okay? Now, the next view, I don't want to ruffle any feathers. It is called the free grace view. I may be giving you terms or things you haven't understood before or never seen before. Again, we're going to take it and we're going to put it in between these two, okay? So if we've got the hyper-reformed view over here and we have this view over here, we're going to put this view kind of in the middle. I'm going to quote an author out of his book to try to give it to you, and I think that you'll understand it. You've just got to watch where these quotes go. they go from something that looks really good, and then all of a sudden it just starts going a little bit to the point where, a little bit, I'm not saying gross, it's just a little bit that I don't like it, okay? I don't like it. Notice, it starts out by people are saved purely by an act of divine grace that does not depend at all on the deeds of the individual. And for that reason, nothing the person can do can affect his or her salvation. Now, folks, if you're looking for something wrong in that statement, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it. I mean, am I saved by grace? Absolutely. Does anything that I have done in my life determine whether God will give me that grace or not? No, it's extended to who? Now, I've heard people say, "Preacher, there's no way I can get saved. You don't know what I've done." Well, first of all, they're right in one aspect. I don't know what they've done. But I do know this, no matter what you've done, it's not greater than what God's grace can reach. Romans chapter 4, okay? Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, okay? So this statement is so good that, again, divine grace does not depend on the deeds of the individual. Jesus never looked at anybody and said, "You know what? In your life, you sin so much that you've sinned so bad that I can't save you. My power doesn't go that far and that deep. I'm sorry, I can't do it." So this statement is really a good statement, and I like it. So, again, you can see that the person that I'm, and I'm not arguing with them, I'm just, don't like exactly what they're going to teach here in a few screens. Are you with me? I just, a little bug by it, okay? That's the word I'm going to give. I wouldn't break fellowship with the person. I would go hear them preach. I would hear them preach. I have heard them preach. I just, you know, okay? So, again, and salvation is not based on works. Does everybody understand that? So basically, we understand this. Watch. I'm saved, and I fall into a sin. Are you with me? Somebody tell me, where's my salvation? Secure or gone? I'm still good. I'm still good. And that statement lets you know that my salvation is not affected by my works. Before or even what? After salvation. So that you understand that. Okay? And this is a good statement. I have no problems with it. But it's going to just go a little bit direction as you read the book, a little bit different than I like. Okay? Notice, a person's character and life after receiving the gift of salvation is independent from the gift itself. Now, this is the one where when I read it, I just kind of go, And I'd almost want to say to the person, let's sit down and talk. But I know from other things that this person has said, I know where it went. Now, I got a question for you. A person's character and life after receiving the gift of salvation is independent from the gift itself. Really? When you got saved, that has nothing to do with your life? I think it does. Okay? Now, again, is everybody following me? I mean, what's the verse that I would quote right away? 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. All things are become what? New. Now, if somebody would come up to me and say, "Pastor, I'm just going to let you know that I got saved, and it has not made one bit of difference in my life," I would go, "What? What would you do?" Would you say, Now, how many of you are here? Maybe you're here and say, "Pastor, since I've gotten saved, it hasn't changed my life at all." Now, all I can say is then you got a pretty high opinion of what you were before salvation, I guess. I don't know. Okay? What's the song that we, "Things I used to do, don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again." Okay? There's been changes, okay, in our lives. Now, the frustrating thing for me, for you, is maybe those changes don't change as fast as I want them to. Okay? But again, there is a life, I believe, that once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, I think there's some changes that take place. There is an effect. Okay? And I think we can quote more than the verse I quoted, but again, you receive, I mean, you can go to stories. There's a man that came to Jesus possessed with a demon. I mean, he was naked, cut himself with stones and rocks, and he howled in the cemeteries. And the man got saved. What does the Bible say about him after that? He was there sitting, clothed, in his right mind, and then Jesus said, "You know, go tell people about me." Did it change his life? Absolutely. Okay? So again, I know what the person is trying to teach, and maybe they've just tried to teach it too hard, and they left it. Basically, what they're saying is, once you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, even if it made no differences in your life, well, you're still saved. Okay? And I'm a little nervous about that. Okay? I'm a little nervous about that. Now, I'm not pushing this one over here, that once you get saved, everything changes and nothing ever goes back to the way it was. Because we do backslide. We do fall. Right? Okay? And I would even say over here that if people would say, yeah, but there's a certain set of sins you can do, but there's certain sins you can't do. Folks, as Christians, even as a Christian, you can do things. Let's talk to David in the Bible. I mean, he fell into some sins. He was a Christian. We could all do it, okay? So that we understand that. Again, reading on here. Even if a believer for all practical purposes becomes an unbeliever, his salvation is not in jeopardy. Believers who lose or abandon their faith will retain their salvation. A little nervous about that one. Are you or not? I mean, this is like talking to somebody later in life. Maybe they're my age. Oh, when I was a kid, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And for a couple years, I went to church. But then, you know what? I didn't like it. I didn't think it was worth it. I just totally walked away from it. And you know what? I'm not a believer anymore. I don't trust in Jesus. I have nothing to do with Him. You know, that was just something I did in my younger days. And no, I'm not. The teaching on the screen before you, that person would say what? They're still saved. Now, I know I called this the free grace view. This view also kind of tags along with easy believism. Is anybody with me on that? Oh, no. Just say, Jesus died on the cross for me, and forgive my sins, and go to heaven. And you never have to do anything after that. Just say it, and you're saved. Is it really that easy? Okay. I tell people, easy belief. And so that you understand, you know, for all intents and purposes, he puts down there or whatever, this person is still a Christian, even though they deny it, even though it has no effect in their lives or whatever. Okay. Again, I tell people, your free grace view is scaring me. Okay. Is what I would say, though. You know, they go on to say, still, the Bible clearly teaches. Okay. That God's love for people is of such magnitude that even those who walk away from the faith and have not the slightest chance of slipping from His hand. Okay? That, I know what they're trying to say, and they're trying to make eternal security into something really, really bigger. Okay? But watch this. Now, just listen to the Christian life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me what? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in the paths of, what are these paths next? Righteousness for His name's sake. Does that sound like somebody who has absolutely abandoned the faith, has nothing to do with the shepherd? Okay. I know that I talked to somebody one time, and you know, when I got saved at 9 years old, again, my family, we really weren't a Christian family at that time. We didn't trust Christ. And yet when I talked to the man who led me to the Lord, John Douglas, years ago, he said, you know, being a counselor, and yeah, I remember you and guys like you, you know, and he was sort of like, oh, you know, yeah, you got saved. And he said, I remember you, you know. And he said, you got saved, but you're just wondering, what's going to happen? You know, you send the person back to where they came from. Is it going to happen? And when I was talking to him, you know, he said, what are you doing in life? I said, I'm a pastor. And he's like, wow. Wow. But see, when somebody says, well, what was different? Well, you know what was really different, folks? I really got saved that day. I really got saved. And I had a shepherd who then took my life and made me lie down in green pastures. He led me beside still waters. He led me in paths of righteousness because I really got saved and He wasn't going to leave me alone. Now, here's where I'm going with this. And some of you probably want to say it out loud now. A person who has absolutely abandoned their faith, has nothing to do with it, what's the term we are probably going to say? They were never what? Saved in the first place. It wasn't real. It was just a prayer they said. And I want to make it that there's a difference between saying something and meaning it or praying it. Am I right about that? They just said something, okay, just to get somebody off their back or just to do it because of the moment. It wasn't really real. And I know what this person is trying to say. I know what they're trying to say, that if you really receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you really are saved. But the thing that scares me is those who abandon the faith and walk away from it and never, ever come back. You're scaring me. I'm not going to say to that person, well, you know, when I was little, and I would do this. When I was little, I received Jesus for a year or two. I went to church or I believed it. And then when I got older, I abandoned it, walked away from it, had nothing to do with it. You know, and I've been walking now for 50 years and I could care less about Christianity or anything like that. My thoughts are, if you really were saved, God's coming after you. I got Bible verses for this. There was a man that had 100 sheep. And one of them walked away. Why did that shepherd go after him? Because it was one of his sheep. And he didn't just say, well, it's just one sheep. Let it go. Let it go. What did he say? That's my sheep. And I go after them. Now, that sheep was out in the mountains for a while, was it not? It was out there in the wilds for a while. But he caught up with them and brought them home. I know it's a scary doctrine. I know we want to hold on to a lot of things. I understand that. But you know what? I know that God, whom He loves, He chastens. And He doesn't leave you out there. He's coming after you. And now, He just comes after you. So I tell people, this free grace view, I think maybe takes eternal security just a notch too far. And I would like to say, because I'm not going to look at somebody, like as I said before, who's walked away from it at 50 years old, 60 years old, and said, oh, for 40 years, 50 years, I've had nothing to do with God. I wouldn't go, you did something when you were a teenager? Oh, you did something when you were 9? Oh, that's good enough. You're saved. Don't worry about it. Keep living the way you're doing, and everything's fine. I'd probably look at that person and say, what? Folks, I'm scared about where you're headed. Because I think the shepherd by now would have come out and found you and pulled you back. And I would probably say to the person, let's go through the gospel again. Let's talk about salvation again. Is anybody with me on this? I would just be that way, okay? So that you understand. I'm not going to talk about this person without showing it who it is. And as soon as I put this person's name up there, some of you are going to go, huh? Are you ready? That's the book. It's Charles Stanley, okay? Eternal Security, Can You Be Sure? And basically what he says, if you just say something, pray something, it doesn't matter what happens in your life from that day forward, you're okay. And I'm just a little nervous that we're just kind of pushing an easy believism. Hey, just say this prayer. You really don't have to think about it long. Just say what's on the page right there. You're going to heaven. It doesn't matter what you do the rest of your life. What am I saying? I don't think that's what I read in the Bible. Matthew chapter 13. Okay? There are seeds that were tossed into the rocks. And they sprang up for a little bit. And then somebody tell me what happened. They went away. Were these saved? Scary thought, isn't it? And for me to say to somebody who has walked almost an entire life abandoning God and having nothing to do with Him, for me to say, oh, you're okay. Just so you said something when you were 9 years old, you're okay. You're fine. I'm saying, you know what? Your salvation profession scares me. It sounds like you have profession without possession. Is everybody with me on that? So you might run into people. Hey, once saved, always saved. And I know at 9 years old, I did something. Okay? Doesn't matter what I've done from now. I can do whatever I want, live however I want, and you know what? I'm still going to heaven. I can do whatever I want. You're scaring me a little bit. Is everybody with me? Okay? I got you three things here, okay? You know there's four, right? So I better go quick. See, you should have eaten donuts. By the way, I quoted that verse. If any man be in Christ, he's a what? New creature, okay? John 10:27. I'm preaching on these verses. What's 10:27 say? Okay? Do you know the verse? My sheep hear my voice. You know what that word hear means? It's not, yeah, I hear you. I hear you. This word is more than just hear. You can also say that it means my sheep listen to my voice. Okay? What's the next part of the verse then say? They follow me. Does this sound like a person who at 9 years old said something and then for 50 years has done nothing and abandoned the faith, criticizes it, and says, you know what, I have nothing to do with it. Does that sound like a sheep that's following Jesus? See where I'm going after? My sheep listen to my voice, and they follow me. Okay? Now, I'm not on the interpretation over here that if I say something and they disobey me, then, you know, you never were saved. No, you're still my sheep. And there's times, by the way, is there times that God talks and you didn't listen? Yeah. But I'm still a sheep. Okay? But he didn't take it away from me when I didn't listen. Is everybody with me? So, again, did you understand there? My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Okay? Just so you understand that. And by the way, then you might say through all of this, well, Pastor, then we have these people over here that, you know, say if you get saved, you never go astray. And so how do you really know if you're saved or not? It's really, and then over here, what about people that get saved, but then they do something? Did God really take it away from them? And do they really know if they're saved or not? Well, then you have this group over here that they did something early in life, but then they totally walked away from it. Are they really saved or not? Folks, I'm in John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. What's the next phrase? I know them. Isn't it good that God knows who's his and who's not? And it's not up to me to determine it. You know what I'm saying? I'm preaching on these verses. I'm giving you some views, but you see, I'm handling the verse. My sheep, they listen to my voice. They follow me. And don't worry down there, Preacher Gilbo, who's saved and who's not. I got it handled. Hey, what's it say there? The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I'm just telling you, if somebody says, I don't follow God at all, is he your shepherd? And if you can walk away from Jesus and he's your shepherd and he doesn't come after you, that sounds funny. Not right. Because my Bible tells me you walk away from his flock, he's coming. He's coming. Okay, we need to move on. Time's getting short, so you should have all gone over and gotten a donut. Then you wouldn't be hungry right now, and I could preach longer. Okay, from now on, donuts every Sunday. No. Okay, let me give you the next one, and this is what I'm going to call it. Okay, this is going to surprise you. I call it the Reformed view. I like this view. I'm on it. Now, what did I call this one over here? Hyper-Reformed. Okay, and now some of you are going to say, well, Pastor, you're using the word reformed and referring to yourself. We ain't never seen that before. Okay, just hold tight. You're okay. It's okay. World's not going to end today because I am using the word reformed. I'm going back and giving you a statement I put on the board earlier. This is the same section, same verse. They whom God hath accepted in his beloved. And I want to show you that I like this passage. Though I told you, somebody, where we are, certainly persevere. I told you, these people over here. Certainly persevere, they kind of ran away with it. Okay, I'm not going to run away with it. But let's pay attention to some other words in here. Okay, they whom God hath accepted and beloved, effectually called and sanctified by his Spirit, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace. Now, are you getting the guy ideas here, totally or finally? Because sometimes as a Christian, when I walk in this life, I fall. Anybody else with me? But I didn't fall out of salvation. Okay? So I'm kind of disagreeing with these people over here that say, hey, once you're saved, you walk the straight and narrow. I'm saying, you know what? You get saved. And I'm going to put this view here somewhere. Once you get saved, we do fall. Can I give you an illustration that I found? I think it works for me. I'm a simple-minded person. It works for me. I have a question for you. Noah went into the ark. When he went into the ark and his family, what happened? God shut the door. And some people say, that's a good picture of eternal security. You know, once you're in, God shuts the door, you're in. Now, I got a question for you. Has anybody ever here been in a boat or on a ship that has gone through rocky water? Have you ever tried to walk on it while it's going through rocky water? It's really hard. Okay? Now, I got a question. There is Noah in that big boat, we call it an ark, and it's in some water and it's going this way. Did Noah ever fall in that ark the year he was in there? You know, it might have been that he was walking up to the house, you know, their apartment, you know, in the ark or whatever, and he's holding his head, and his wife says, well, what happened to you, Noah? He says, oh, I fell back there. You know, the boat pitched that one time. I missed my step. I hit my head. I fell. Oh, sorry to hear you fell. But now watch this. He fell in the ark, but he didn't fall out of the ark. Is everybody with me on that? I kind of like that illustration. Now, you might look at me, Pastor, I have problems with that illustration. Fine. I don't want to hear it. Okay? I am in salvation. And sometimes I fall in my salvation. I don't do what I'm supposed to do. I make mistakes. But I didn't fall what? Out of it. Okay? And just because I fell in it didn't mean I never had it. Okay? So if I say to somebody, well, you know, Noah fell. Oh, he did? Yeah, he tripped. He tripped when the boat pitched. But he didn't fall overboard. Okay, God made sure of that because he shut the door and kept him in there. So again, I believe that this statement from the Westminster Confession of Faith is right. We don't finally fall or totally fall out away from the state of grace. We are secure in it. Okay? And here's the word I want to use. And this is why I think the change is. The words here, certainly persevere. I don't think the persevere applies to me. It applies to God. He makes sure that I make it to the end. Is everybody with me on that? Okay, I always tell people, I believe that Noah and his sons did a real good job building that ark. But they never built anything like this before. And what if halfway through the trip it would have started to break up? Can I tell you something? There was no chance that boat was going to break up. They did the best they could, whatever. But somebody tell me who held that boat together. God was holding it together. Okay? God held it together. It wasn't coming apart because he was the one who... And so I believe, but shall certainly persevere to the end and eternally be saved. That's God's work. So when I'm talking about perseverance of the saints, it's not me that has to walk the straight and narrow because I can't. But even when I can't, God keeps me. God keeps me. By the way, in the Westminster Confession of Faith, because this statement is here, and I believe years ago when they put it in there, they thought people would misconstrue it, they wrote another paragraph, okay? And yes, I have it, okay? It's longer. And they're talking about, okay, the perseverance, eternal security, and this is what they say. Nevertheless, believers may through the temptations, and there's three things here, may through the temptations of Satan in the world, that's one, the prevalency of the corruption remaining in them, that's the flesh, two, and the neglect of the means of their preservation, that means you didn't have your devotions, you didn't read the Bible, you haven't been exposed to preaching and good fellowship. So because of Satan in the world, because of your own flesh, and because you've kind of neglected the things you would do, you may fall into grievous sins and for a time continue therein. Now this is the Westminster Confession of Faith, a little bit later, saying, though you are secure in your salvation, there could be times, and they're even listening in words that are bigger than my vocabulary, because of Satan in the world, because of your own sinful flesh, and because of, what was the other thing, because you've neglected the upkeep of your faith, just, you know, maintaining things you should do to keep you strong, you may, okay, fall into, and what's the next word? Grievous sins. Okay? That's pretty much anything. And if I would say, did David commit grievous sins? Yeah. And for a time, what? Continue. How long did David think he was getting away with it all? A while, wasn't it? He thought he had it made. Okay? And I still, like I said, I still like, for a time. You may be a sheep and you're out on the wild. You're out on the mountain. But who's coming? Oh, he's coming. He's my shepherd. And I'm out here, but he's coming. All right? And why do I know he's coming? Because he's my shepherd. I really am his sheep. Okay? Can I keep going on here? Notice, whereby, now this is what happens when you fall into these grievous sins for a while. Whereby they incur God's displeasure. They grieve his Holy Spirit. They come to be deprived of some measures of their graces and comforts. They have their hearts hardened and their conscience is wounded, hurt and scandalize others, and bring temporal judgments upon themselves. Okay, there are times when you walk away from God or, again, you backslide, and when you're out of fellowship with God, things don't go well. Am I right about that? It's not like it should be. And so when you're over here and somebody says, well, you know, you've had some times in your life when you really didn't walk like you should, and you know what I say? That's right. And for a while, I was a miserable soul. By the way, I usually tell people, you know who the most miserable people in the world are? Christians who aren't in fellowship with God like they should be, and they know it. They are. And yeah, and in words that I can't write, but those men are smart, okay, they're saying up there, and in that time when you're out of sorts with God, things aren't real good, are they? Okay? I just put it this way, the prodigal son. Man, I mean, when he left his dad, for a little bit things were happy and fine. Then tell me which way they turned. He wanted to eat pig's food. That's how bad it was. He fain would have filled his belly with the food that they were feeding to the pigs. life wasn't so fun. And finally, it was so bad. What did he say when he came to himself? Even my dad's servants have it better than I got it. Okay? You may want to be one of Jesus' sheep. And all of a sudden, you're out of fellowship with him. Now, I'm not in this camp here. I'm not in the free grace view that says, I'm out on the mountains and my shepherd's not coming for me and I can live the rest of my life any way I want. But because at one time I spent a night in his fold, it's all okay. I'm not there. If you're saved, he's coming. He's coming. Okay? And he's going to bring you back. Okay? He's going to bring you back. I'm not of this fold, of over here where people say, well, you know, I used to be a Christian, but I just lost it. And I really was a Christian. Okay? Now, you don't lose it. Okay? And by the way, I do, and according to Hebrews 6, just so you understand that, for those who believe that you can lose your salvation, Hebrews 6 makes it very clear that if this was true, I better say it right. If this view is true, that you can have it and lose it, Hebrews 6 makes it very clear you can never get it back once you've lost it. So it's not every other day with Jesus. If you lose it, you cannot get it back. If this view is right, but if you'd ask me, is this view right, what am I saying? It's not. But people who believe you can lose your salvation, that's the part they don't want to hear. Oh, so you lost your salvation? Well, then it's all over. You can't get it again. It's done. Because you put the Son of God to an open shame. You can't do it again. So again, I kind of am standing here more of a compromiser, but it's the Reformed view, and boy, I'm telling you, I got some really smart men on my side, and listen to how they write. You know what? I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've done the best I can, and that's not good enough. That's why I'm saved by grace and secure by grace, and God's the one that holds me. And there are times when I'm out of fellowship with Him, but you know what? I know it, and He works on my heart, and He comes after me and brings me back is what He does. Okay, and again, it's because of Him that I'm secure, not because of me. And again, I think I've got something like this. And again, these are the verses that were read by Nate a little bit earlier. What can separate us from the love of Christ? If you truly are saved. Now, I'm done. But here's how I believe it. If you truly are saved, you are headed to heaven. But in between the time you got saved and the time you get into heaven, you're not going to be perfect. There are going to be times when you backslide. But you know what? God's coming after you. He's coming after you. And He's going to come and get you. Why? Because you're His sheep, and He doesn't leave His sheep out there. And He knows who you are. Again, a few things that I have to say, just in the sermon's over, an invitation, however. You know what? If you're here today and you think your salvation is based on how you're living your life right now and you possibly could lose it, don't worry about it. Okay? And if you say, well, Pastor, this past week I didn't do everything perfect and I really feel bad, sounds like you're a Christian. Just sounds like you had a bad week. Get back in fellowship with God. He didn't take your salvation from you. You still have it. It's absolutely secure. And I tell people, I don't know what's going to happen today and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know one thing. I know at least one thing. He is my shepherd. I am His sheep. He is my Father. I am His child. And that will never, ever change. Even if I disobey Him, even if I fall into a grievous sin, because nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. Did I help you here? I'm still on John 10:27. My sheep, well, they listen to my voice, they follow me, and I know them. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. You might say, well, Pastor, sounds like you preached on the verse. Oh, no, I got more. Come back next week. And I got some more about our security and why it can be so secure and what the foundation of it is. Father, I pray that You would help us. We're studying this year, getting to know our God. And one of the greatest doctrines I think we can get is once we are saved and we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, Lord, it's never taken away. Lord, even when we mess up, it's still secure. And Lord, I thank You for a truth that's really great, that when we mess up, You're coming after us. Because, Lord, I need You to grab me by the back of the neck and get me home. And, Lord, if I need to be punished, do it, but do it gently. But, Lord, teach me great lessons because, Lord, unless I was afflicted, I would go astray. But, Lord, You do punish me in such a way to bring me back to the fold. Lord, I pray that You might help us to realize You're a great God and You love us everlasting. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.